The Other Side of the Glass is on.
Oh, my God. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Rolling along with you on a Saturday. Chris Thomas with you till the top of the hour. Dylan Matthews takes over then. He is in the building rocking and rolling and ready to go. And so is our next guest on the WadeFord.com hotline, Deshaun Tate. Tate's Take Hoops on the Twitterverse. And that's where you can find me as well, at C Thomas Radio. Got a Twitter Spaces up and rolling right now. Appreciate everybody who's jumped in and out. Had a bunch of people so far. And then give me a subscribe on YouTube as well. Also at C Thomas Radio, going to have a live stream up and ready for you on the shows moving forward starting next week. Deshaun, let's start with your Sparty. For those who don't know, Deshaun is a big Michigan State fan. Good win last night here in town, but why was Coach Izzo almost doing the waterworks last night after the game?
Yeah, I just think that, and thanks for having me on, by the way. I just think that it's a matter of, you know, when you, I guess, just kind of grind it out, and you know, he'll oftentimes remind you that this isn't one of his better, or I guess just more talented teams, but one of the more connected teams, I guess. And then obviously, you know, there's just so much pressure between people telling you that you don't have it anymore and that you, you know, don't want because you're not willing to do things the way everybody else is doing things, whether that be NIL, whether that be transfer portal. And, you know, you just wanting to continue to, you know, stick with your guys and show the loyalty to you have to your players. And, you know, it's been a struggle. It's been a little bit of a wild ride. I mean, you think about it, they come into the season, you know, unranked, outside on the outside looking in of the top 25, and you know, lose some games and along the way early, and then kind of get kind of hot, and then obviously you're, you know, now in this season the you know, the got the most wins amongst any coach in the Big Ten, and you know, the worst shooting team in the country from the perimeter. I mean, there's a lot of different layers to the onion, I think you can say, and I think it's just been in a very emotional moment and ride for Coach Izzo and his team, especially with a lot of the criticism that they probably have been getting too. So I think it's just a combination of happiness and putting it in the faces of I told you so, knowing that you can do it, believing you can do it, your team believing that they can do it, and everybody having one another's back, willing to, you know, run through a brick wall for each other.
Before we get to the other game at State Farm last night, which may have had an eventual champion in it, Houston, they scraped by Purdue 62-60, knock down, drag them out type of game. But can they score enough to get past this round?
Houston, you're talking about?
Houston, yeah.
I mean, I think so. I mean, Tennessee is definitely an improved. Both of these teams are historically known as teams that rely on a tough defense, defensive anchor, you know, heels in the sand, muck it up if they, you know, need to, and that's just their preference of play style and everything else. But they've also added some offense to their primary defensive teams over the years and things like that. And I mean, listen, I took Houston on my bracket to win the national championship this year, well overdue for a Hall of Fame coach in Kelvin Sampson. And, you know, but, you know, some of that is, I believe, Rick Barnes being maybe a little vulnerable to being outcoached sometimes. And, you know, congrats to them to get all the way to this point because, you know, it's still very much a Houston team that from a roster construction standpoint doesn't look much different than the previous Tennessee teams has, but both these guys got Final Four experience under their belts. So it's gonna, you know, I don't know what the over under is just yet. You might want to take a look at that. It's probably 103, kind of somewhat jokingly, facetiously, but right. Probably not much more than 112.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be a grind out type of game. It's gonna be physical. I like Houston in that one, but they've got real grown men over there. They're not the tallest team in the country, but they've got real grown men, and they're extremely physical. You like smash-mouth basketball, the closest thing to you can get to a football game, but on the basketball court, yeah, that's going to be the Elite Eight tomorrow when you see Tennessee and Houston and Indianapolis.
Yeah, I love it. That's why I called this one a knockdown, drag-em-out battle versus a good Purdue team that just came up a little bit short. All right, What is going to stop Auburn from winning the title?
For starters, themselves. I think sometimes they get out to a little bit of a slower start. I think we saw that in some examples on yesterday, last night against Michigan. Even more so, I think we even saw that in the first round against Alabama State, where they appeared to have struggled a little bit. Sometimes, I don't know, something tells me that they're not taking, you know, their opponents or just their approach to March is a little bit different. Just makes me feel like they're not taking it as serious. I mean, listen, I've been in around those guys and in locker rooms and practices and shooting rounds over the course of the last few days. And I mean, granted, you know, I don't want to badmouth them. If anybody can have a little bit of a longer leash in terms of its comfort and a little bit of cushion and able to go out there and have some fun and still, you know, kick the doors down against whatever teams on the other side of them, it is Auburn, and they're the, you know, overall number one seed here, and it's for a good reason. They got a lot of size over there, let me tell you. So, I mean, again, you know, but some of that I think is an extension of the coach. We already know how kind of quote-unquote, for lack of other words, wild that Bruce Pearl can be. Phenomenal coach, by the way, I can say that. But I do think that he has some Rick Barnes in him a little bit in terms of being able to be out-coached. So between those couple things, I think that, you know, that those are some of the reasons. And I don't, you know, let me just make one thing clear real quick. I'm all about players, you know, not having to be buttoned up to the neck all the time and guys being a little bit loose and stuff like that. But it kind of sometimes feels like there is a sense of, I don't know, it just kind of feels like they're not really taking some of this as serious, which even is a credit to them even more so, because if they're not taking it this serious and they're whooping teams the way that they are, they just must be that damn good.
Talking all things March Madness as we continue tonight. Two really good games we're going to get into in just a second. Give Deshaun Tate a follow at Tate's Take Hoops on Twitter. Stay up to date on all the latest with the tournament. All right, Texas Tech, Florida. You talk about a game that could be also knock down, drag them out. We know Florida, how they like to play. They can really play. I don't know if you agree with me on this. Florida can play to whatever type of game their opponent wants to play, or they can dictate the tempo, as we've seen them do both things as well. So what type of matchup do you expect tonight between those two powerhouses?
Yeah, I mean, a darn good one. I know that Texas Tech likes to muck it up a little bit. You know, ever since Chris Beard's not the coach over there anymore, they've kind of still somewhat held on to that kind of identity, if you will, to being like a defensive-minded team, obviously, with Toppin and Williams over there being the two guys that primarily, leading the team, if you will. I just think that Florida has a little bit too much between Richard and Clayton on the perimeter, along with a guy who's got some NCAA tournament, deep runs in the NCAA tournament experience, that being Elijah Martin, the transfer from Florida Atlantic. I mean, it's all about the guard play, and it's all about the experienced guard play. And so, you know, I expect another, you know, pretty tough game. But, I mean, Florida's a team that can blow you out. Alex Condon, I think, might be the X factor in such games, because he is one that is in the front court and definitely is a pretty strong player in the front court and can make all the difference in this game. I do like Florida to ultimately advance.
All right, and the other game, the final game, you want to talk about points. Alabama and Duke, Deshaun, the total for tonight, 174.5. So you're talking about what could be really an explosive contest. For me, I think Duke is the best team in the country. What do you think is going to happen in this one?
Yeah, this is going to be such an interesting game because, you know, Alabama has the horses that they can run out there. They have the athleticism that can match up with Duke. They have the experience, obviously, something that Duke doesn't have. And if you've been looking over the course of since the last time that Duke won a national championship in 2015, that was predicated based off of its freshmen with Grayson Allen and Winslow and Okafor and Jones and all that, We haven't seen that yet again. And Alabama brings that experience, especially got a lot of guys that are returning from the Final Four last year. Like, you think about it. I think I mentioned this once or twice to you, but let me just run it through to you really quickly. You haven't seen a lot of one-and-dones cutting down nets, standing on ladders with scissors in hand and all that since Duke did it. Think about it. In 2016, Villanova didn't have any one-and-dones. 2017, Tony Bradley was the only one for North Carolina, so that's your one. In 18, Nova didn't have any. Virginia didn't have any in 19. COVID didn't have any in 20. Baylor didn't have any in 21. Kansas didn't have any in 22. Villanova didn't have any in 23. And the one that they had was Stephon Castle for UConn on last year, who's a Georgia product. That's two guys in the last 10 freaking years in a decade that could say that they were one and done going on to the NBA and won a national championship. So that doesn't really fit the narrative very well for a team like Duke. But I will say enough to say that, you know what, if there's someone that can replicate and duplicate what Duke did in 2015, it is Duke in 2025. Alabama, I don't expect or anticipate that they'll be able to shoot like that again. I think that'll be really hard to do. It might be enough if they're able to just, I mean, they shot so great that if they just shoot half as well as they did from the perimeter the other night, then they would probably be just fine in advance. But Grant Nelson is a load up front. Everybody talks about Sears. They've got the athletes, but the problem with Alabama, and one of the reasons why I'm taking Duke here, is because Duke brings a little bit better balance on both sides of the ball. I get it, Alabama on offense, their mindset is about winning games, and I understand having more points than the other team at the end of the game is the point. But to me, this time of the year, you got to be able to get stops. They're not nearly as defensively disciplined as I think that they should be, could be, and teams that advance are.
All right, Deshaun, before I let you go, Georgia probably going to lose Asa Newell to the draft and Silas Demary Jr. to the transfer portal. Where does Mike White and his staff go from here after getting embarrassed in the first round?
Yeah, I think it's just about, you know, just about recruiting. Obviously, you know, dipping into the transfer portal. He's done a really good job. I mean, just getting better players than he was able than Georgia's typically been able to get. I mean, we're talking about Georgia getting into the NCAA tournament in the year that has been the conference, the toughest conference in the country, by the way. I think that that says something, that speaks volume, that's a selling point for this team. I think that that is I think that that is a step certainly in the right direction. Even if it is just a baby step, it is a step in the right direction. I think that they will continue to improve and do better. Whoever thought that we'd be talking about Georgia, quote-unquote, being the basketball school, and I really hope, I know we're up against it, forgive me for getting long-winded, but I really say this right now, pushing up against the time, because I want Georgia Tech fans to be able to hear me very clearly. Whoever would have thought that we would be having more conversations about Georgia Tech or Georgia being the basketball school in the state than we would for Georgia Tech? I think that that says something about what Georgia has been doing lately and what Georgia Tech has not been doing.
All right, Deshaun, appreciate it as always.